Let's just do a very short meditation. Just sort of bring ourselves here. Just close your eyes. Get into a nice, comfortable position. And we're just going to watch our breath for a few minutes, just to bring ourselves into the room. Wait, do we want a light on or do we not? A lot of no's. Let's try it. No? You can say no if you want. Light on? Okay, let's go back. It's good.
That one.
Is that okay? No, they don't. It's so funny. Give too many people too many choices here. It's just like... So, thanks for coming. So I guess all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are here. I was just reviewing my notes about Geshe-la's class, and I had a real sense of relief of some kind, because oftentimes, you know, at least when I teach, and I don't really teach a lot, but there's like this idea of who I'm supposed to be or what people are expecting of me or things like that. And for some reason when he said, just, you know, teach with sort of like an open heart and teach with, I don't know, some kind of love and I think, did I write it down? Yeah, I did. Teach with love and affection. That's what he said. And I thought, I just suddenly, all this burden came off my shoulders because, you know, I didn't really memorize any Tibetan and, you know, I watched Ningpo teach. Is Ningpo here? No, so I can talk about him. I saw, you know, I'd watch, he learned Tibetan really well, and I've been around for like twice as long, and, you know. but, you know, just, I think it was something about teach what you know, you know, share what you can share with the people here. And so, you know, I was all nervous because it's a Jetsun Kapa ritual and meditation or something like that. So, I talked to Nancy. She said, "Do you think you'll?" I asked her if she would teach the first class. She said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you going to do the? Are you going to follow the program?" I said, "No, probably." But I did talk to Geshe-la about it. So, and Lisa, that was really nice today. I said at least, but it was they came and corrected me after. But Lisa, because I really resonated with I came to Flagstaff in 1989. My girlfriend went to NAU, and she was a painter. And so most of the time I didn't really understand. I always thought there was something behind what she would be painting. And I'd always say, what are you thinking when you paint? And it was like she looked at me with like, what? Like it didn't make any sense to her. And my whole life, for me at the time, was trying to figure out how she saw the world. And she was studying art up at NAU in Flagstaff in ceramics. And she was taking this really cool art. It wasn't really an art history class, but it was some sort of like modern art something or other. And it was during Thanksgiving vacation. So I left my school to come there a little bit early so we could spend the day together, or the 10 days together. And we walk in, there's a blank sheet of paper on everyone's desk, you know, and teacher sitting up at the front of the room, and everyone just kind of gets in their seats, and he doesn't say anything. He just sort of sits there and stares. And, you know, there's all sorts of interesting, uncomfortable noises and movement, and people are kind of like, what's going on, you know? And he just sits there and stares out. And then all of a sudden, he just, it was like, and then, I don't know, it was after, I guess, 4 minutes or so, 4 minutes and 9 seconds, whatever it is, and he said, welcome to John Cage. And that was like my introduction to John Cage at the time, which we were talking about, who was Merce Cunningham's partner. And John Cage was like a composer, and I guess I was lucky enough at this point to have gone to see a performance by John Cage and Merce Cunningham. And your talk today was really inspiring because there was, at that time in my life, I think I was about 20 or 21, and I was exploring that part of who I was and what I wanted to be. And I sort of was like getting rid of what people's expectations of me were, and trying to be what I wanted to be. And so I really resonated with what she said today, because it just sort of brought me back to that time where I was, my whole life was sort of about, it's actually what Joseph, does everybody know who Joseph Campbell is, or what was rather? He wrote a book called The Power of Myth, and him and Bill Moyers on PBS did a long series on the book. It was like a beautiful interview of the whole book, and it was like incredible. And he taught at Sarah Lawrence College, and he took, I think, 2 years, and he lived up in Woodstock, and he just decided to read everything. You know, he just went up there and kind of like got himself a cabin and just read everything he could possibly read about everything, about mythology, about anything, everything, and everything. And he used to tell his students, he said, follow your bliss. That's what he would say to his students, follow your bliss. And he said, whether it brought you to be a prince or a pauper. And the parents would always, he'd get lots of phone calls. Because I think it's a pretty expensive college. Like, hey, you know, I'm paying a lot of money here, and you're telling my kid to just go off and follow whatever the heck they want to do. And he's like, yeah, I am, you know? And it was like, you have a mission in your life. You have some sort of calling. And that's what it was to me. Like, I wasn't sure, what did it mean to follow my bliss? You know, I actually talked about this the last time in the last retreat, August. I think I talked about following your bliss, actually. So maybe it's sort of part two now. Of course, it went a different direction than I thought it was going to go already, so it's fine. So I sat with that. You know, what does it mean to follow your bliss? You know, and I really, I loved poetry. And, you know, I my whole life, I was born into my father was a coach, so I was coached since I was a child. And my mother was like a piano player, and she drew, but there was like always this conflict. There was like my dad, who was a salesman and like a jock, and then my mom, who was sort of like from Ireland and like had this mystical spiritual side, which seemed to be like struggle. It was like, for me, it was like a metaphor of my life, because it's sort of like it was the force in my life that wasn't so strong. And I think I said that today when I said, you know, dancing scares me a little bit. But I always made a point in my life to do anything that scared me, you know, and that's why I've done everything I've done. You know, when something scares me, I just sort of sit back with it. Like I shall say, do four fire pushes or whatever it was, three fire pushes, you know, and I've learned to sit with it for a second, you know, and not react right away to my old habitual patterns or whatever you want to call them. So, but it was like, my life was on fire at the time. And it was all of this stuff was happening to me at the time, poetry and music, and I was in love. And it was just sort of magical. And you guys are, what is her name? Annie Diller. She wrote a book called Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. And the opening lines is a quote from Heraclitus. And I don't know it exactly, but it says, all that is and ever will be is everlasting fire. And she said her eyes were burning with like life onto her. Life to her was on fire. And she used to have to go to the water just to cool her eyes. And I really like resonated with that, you know, like, wow. And she gave a talk in New York City and I went. And it felt like a kindred spirit. Before I knew what llamas were and all this sort of angel stuff, I guess, in a way, I was like, I always had this, I imagined that if I'd ever been in a room and I had died and gone to heaven, it would be all these sort of like people who had been throughout my life there sort of as hidden messengers or something, or quietly sort of nudging me along in my path. And I felt that with her, you know, like I didn't necessarily want her signature. I just wanted to, I wanted to acknowledge her is really what I wanted to do. And you know, I had the book and I had no intention of her signing anything, but she was just sort of like, you know, people were like whipping through and giving signatures and it was odd. And then she just took it, signed it. But then the last moment, she looked me right in the eyes. And it was like a moment, for me at least. And there was like some acknowledgement of like some kindred spirit there. So, you know, we're here because it's the passion retreat, right? Like what you were always meant to be, right? And so Geshe-la so beautifully has, I think it's called, is Venerable Alistair, is it Gupa, which is hook? You can say it, it's okay. Isn't there a word I thought that it meant like hook? Not in the Lama Chupa, but it's like Gupa or something like that. Or I'm saying it wrong in Tibetan. Anyway, what it means is that like the Lama just sort of like gets out there and just they kind of hook you and they're like, rip, you know, and then it's kind of a skillful means. You know, they're like, come find your passion, you know, like, which is true. It actually is your passion. What's going to happen? And so we're trying to make a big deal of this whole retreat and have people who are sort of in their creative people in their field who this is their life. You know, this is what she always does. You know, and so Jetsang Kapa. So in Jetsang Kapa's prayer, which Nancy sort of so it was really beautiful. By the way, last night I felt like I hadn't connected with the Jetsang Kapa practice in a very long time. And I thought, I was wondering how far she was going to go because I was not prepared to teach that whole mantra, you know? And Geshe-la taught us a 10-day retreat in Godstow in 1998 or something like that. It was really incredible. For me, it was like a breakthrough. And then went and did it on my own. And it was sort of my main practice. And I said this last time, I think, I'm positive, but after I did the retreat, I think I told you guys, I'll just say because there's some new people, we went to see, it was like Geshe-la and myself and like Lama Kirsti and Aura and Trisang Ma and I think Ian and then Roy and maybe Jigme was there, I'm not sure. But we went to Rinpoche's room and I was like, you know, very proud and, you know, sat right in front all the time and Geshe was like, oh, these guys just finished the Miksema, the Jetsang Kapa retreat. And he's like, good. And so he said, you know, so there's two, I know how many mantras these other two guys did already. So he goes to my friend Roy and he's like, how many mantras did you do? And Roy's like, 2,000. And like inside, I'm like, you know. And then he goes to Ian, he's like, how many mantras did you do? And Ian's like, you know, 4,000. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, oh, I've totally blown them away. He's like, how many mantras do you do? And I was like, 16,000. He's like, And he was like, I did 600,000. And I was like, that was the beginning of the end right there. It was like, I looked at Geshe-la and he's like, you are on your own. Because I looked at him for help, you know, I was like, he's just sort of, he just said this to me. He's like, so he goes, do you know what the mantra means? And I was like, oh boy. So he just goes, what does Mick mean? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, well, why? Why don't you know? Did you do the retreat? I said, yeah. Did you do the thing with Geshe Michael? I said, yeah. Well, why didn't you do it? I was like, I don't know. He's got me doing all this computer work. And he's like, oh, so the computer's going to learn the mantra for you. And I was like, it's not going well, you know, like, because I've always been all about, like, you know, service, really, since I've been a kid. I've always been in the service industry. It's just been natural for me to serve my whole life. So, yeah, it wasn't looking good. So, I thought he'd just let me go, but he didn't, you know, and he's like, what does May mean? I was like, not, you know, like, no, and he's like, and so he said, Mick means eyes, right, eyes, and I was like, great. And May's like not. Like to not see things as basically what it means is to not see things as coming at you. It's that idea, which Geshe-la's been teaching, you know, the whole time. And so it's really the only part of the whole mantra that's always stuck with me, which is probably the most important, is to not see things as coming at you, but they're coming from you. right? And it's Mikme Sewe Terchen Chenrezig. Like Chenrezig, I recognize like Chenrezig, Jampelyang, Sangwei, which is Sang is secret, which means secret. And Jetsun Kha, like I recognize Jetsun Kaba's name. So there's like a bunch of words I recognize, but you know. But all I really remember is Mikme. And I was thinking like, you know, how can I even teach this? I only remember the first two words. That's it. You know, by the way, he didn't let me go after that. You know, this was like a 20-minute teaching on what Mikme meant. And it was basically that when Avok Toshvara looks at people with love, he doesn't look at them as if they're coming this way. He loves them because he knows that the world is coming from him. And because it's coming from him, he loves them. And it was like a 25-minute teaching on that. And it was really profound. And then Mikme said, so then he goes, let's move on. He goes, Sewe, what does Sewe mean? I was just like, he let me off at that point. But the whole point is that the two most important lines for me that I only remember is the idea of the pen. And it's probably the most important thing Geshe Michael's ever taught me, is the idea of the pen. And so, has everybody heard this? Who hasn't? Wow. So I don't really have to go through it probably, but we will anyway, just because it's fun. Someone hasn't heard it. Great. Awesome. Perfect. So this is for you. So they said you need about 4,000 hours of this teaching, right? Hearing it over and over again. And I actually, tallied my hours, you know, and I was about 3,800 or something like that. And then he upped it. Geshe-la at the next class. I was like so close, you know, and then he goes, it's more like 6,000. I was like, well, no, it kept going up. I know. Yeah, 10,000. I was like, I mean, every time I got right there, it was like when I turned 19, they raised the drinking age to 21. Or when I turned 18, they raised it to 19. When I turned 19, it was the same thing. It hasn't, that sort of pattern has come with throughout my whole life. It was like, because I believe that, because in a way, you think that if you just get a certain amount of hours, then you'll see emptiness directly, right? It's that simple. Or if I just meditate a lot, I'll see emptiness directly, but you know. Maybe for everybody else it is, but not for me, it hasn't been. It's a lot, you know? So, what is this? Pen. So, if... this is why I brought my computer, actually. So, if... did someone just say, huh? So, if a dog came in here, and saw this, what would they say? Well, I mean, what would they do with it? They wouldn't, right, most likely, right? They wouldn't write with it. Yeah, most likely not. It'd be weird if they did. Things would be changing if they did. So if we were to take this object and leave it here, basically right there, and then everybody in this room left, all the humans, all the minds in this room left, all the humans left, and then all the dogs left. What would be there? What does that mean?
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
But it would be a pen that stayed in the room.
What?
The pen that stayed in the room.
Well, actually, I'm interested. There's no wrong answer, except for him. Well, but you're not in the room. There's no one here to perceive this object. There would just be an object, and there's nobody there to perceive that object yet. There's an object. We can say there's an object. That's okay. I'm comfortable with that. But you can't say it's a pen yet, because there's not a human being to see it as a pen, and there's not a dog to see it as a pen. So, and I love this picture. Have you guys seen this? It's a dog with a object in its mouth. And the reason I show it is because, you know, Geshe-la teaches this, you know, if you have an opportunity to go on a DCI tour, you got to do it. It is unbelievable. It's just like the training is remarkable, and it takes, you know, 18 ECI courses minimum or something like that. You know, you have to have a lot of experience. But once you get on it, it's just sort of like the training's like, it's just like the stuff they throw at you. So he teaches this all the time to the audience, you know, B. What is this? And they go, B, right? Oh, Lu Xiang knows. So, and I, for some reason I had this, I don't know if it's going to come across right now, it might not, but like when I was looking at this picture, you know, even though, all right, so everyone sees this as a pen, and intellectually we can see how probably a dog sees this as a chew toy, right? But even when it's in a dog's mouth, right, we still believe it's a pen, right? We always do. And that's like the problems of our whole life right there. And I don't know what it was, something just clicked in my mind, like, because I was trying to imagine what the dog was perceiving, and it is not that, because that is a pen. That's a big deal, you know, like, because I'm so used to seeing things the way they are, the way they're appearing to me, right? Like the world is just, this is the way it is, you know? And I do this with my friends because, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm always afraid I'll be judged for, everyone has some sort of magical, you must, if I have it, I'm assuming you have it as well, some sort of maybe special idea you have about yourself, right? And I've always been really like impressed with people who know what they want to do, and they're very definitive about this, and they have answers about stuff. And I've just always been like, I always find it in business guys, you know, who are just sort of like, this is the way it is, and you know, they're just sort of, they sit down and they put me in a table and teach me about life. And in my head, I'm like, wow, this is totally backwards. But you know, I just don't know how. They always assume I think the same way they do. Don't you think like that? And I'm like, no, not even. I'm always afraid that if I share with them how I really feel, then they're just going to be like, I get tossed off like the planet or something. You know, like they're just like, it's this big steakhouse, and they're like, you got to go. You're just nuts. My brother's actually said it for a long time. He's like, you're crazy. You're just crazy because of this whole idea. That's it. Just this idea, right? So, if it's true that that pen is coming for me. Right, and we see pen. We can't get away from not seeing pen. That seems to be the problem, because even when I see the dog chewing on it, I see him with a pen in his mouth, and I've guaranteed he is not seeing a pen. Right. So what would that look like? You know. So that's where my mind just sort of like gets a little like. I don't know. I think the idea of it just sort of loosens up this sort of hold you have on yourself, and maybe that's part of my fear. Is that I have some sort of, I identify myself in a particular way. So, you know, the most important thing to say about that is, why do we see a pen, right? Why is it that we see pens? I mean, now we're going back to intellectual because we've been taught it a lot, but if it's coming from my mind, if, I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying if, it seems to make sense, then why do I see a pen? I mean, if you ever thought about it, like, is it because I gave a pen, or, I mean, that's what they say, right? They say it's because I gave a pen, I planted a seed, and then that seed flowered in my life, and then I saw things like pens, right? And then a dog had planted certain seeds in its mind, and then for some reason, when it looks out, it sees, like, paws and chew toys and things to pee on, or, you know? Like, their world is sort of like, actually, it was one Elisa was teaching today. There was an ant on the ground. And it was just, someone was asking a question. I was watching it walk, and I just was trying to imagine what their world must be like right now, how they're perceiving their world. Because I'm up here looking at this tiny little being, you know, and I could crush it. I don't necessarily feel like I have the ability to help it, per se. But how is it that they're seeing their world? You know, it's like, you know, and it's seeds, right? They say it's seeds, like, you know, you've planted certain seeds in your life which are forcing you to see pens. And you also planted certain seeds in your life to see yourself have pens lost or have pens run out. I mean, if it's true, if you could get this about your world, then we, you know. So this is where you guys have to sort of experiment a little. So it's one thing, and I think this is what was his name? It wasn't Ultra Dharma Bhadra. The arrow into your heart. Like, take the practice immediately. Well, he was doing it as he spoke on the stage, so. I guess, in a way, it's, you know, me going through this in my mind, and you're hearing, like, this dialogue. So, God, those classes are just amazing about how to be a teacher and a student. They're just incredible. Like, I've never heard them teach them so completely before, you know, in 15 years. And so, it's really lucky that you're here. It's interesting who's here. you know, because a lot of people signed up and didn't get here. I mean, right? We know, like we saw them sign up and then they offered. It was really weird. People just couldn't get here. And then, but then those people couldn't get here provided the means for somebody else to get here. You know, like for some reason you made it into this room by hook or by crook. Is that right? I like that. Geshe says that to me a lot. Get it built by hook or by crook. You're really fortunate. You really are. You know, he hasn't taught. You know, there was two sides. You know, talking about the student who was sort of like a little thick-headed, and if they're disrespecting the teachings or they're somehow, maybe they're not quite ready for it, you back off or you teach them Lam Rim. Or what about the students that you teach? And then he thought, you know, you've taught them everything. You've taught them the ACI courses. You taught them the whole Tantra series, but they still don't get it. Then what do you teach them? And he's like, you teach them Lam Rim. He's like, get it? And I was like, oh, I'm totally the last one. You know, like, I can't say for you guys, right? But for me, I was like, damn. I'm like, do you really, you know, I need to have a conversation. Sometimes it's cool to hear the conversations, like, when you go back to the house, because someone's always like, did you really mean that? I mean, like, oh, he's like, oh, no, 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 not you. I mean, you're so close. You've been here for so long. I would never say that about you. And you're like, you know, so it's the idea of being able to, like, to experiment a little. So in China, and this is kind of the direction I want to go, I've been lucky enough to go to the last couple, you know, I've been going to Asia for a while. I've been lucky enough to just go with them fairly a lot. It's for me, at least. I know people go more, but somehow I keep getting to go to Asia a lot. And it's becoming, like, my world is shifting that I'm in Asia. I'll be in Asia more in the next, you know. I feel like I'll probably be in the United States half the time and in Asia half the time, something like that. So, and the DCI talks are just like, you know, it's always about seeds. Whatever it is that you want in your life, provide it for somebody else first, right? So Geshe told me, this is pretty much what he told me to tell you guys, like, in one sentence, basically what he, you know, you came here with either a problem or a dream. All of you have some sort of something, there's some reason why you came here, right? I was struggling, by the way, when the throne was up before. I was like, do I sit on the throne? Do I sit down? Do I sit on Geshe? Like, because I'm not really, I shouldn't be proud, but like, there's a throne, and then all of a sudden the throne was just gone, you know? And I was like, oh, decision made, great. But as I sit down here, I was just thinking in my mind, maybe I should have sat up on the throne, because I can't really see everybody. At any rate, so in the DCI stuff, like, they just sort of get to the point right away. There's no, like, dilly-dallying in a DCI event. There's 2 days of open talks, and there's 3 days of retreat. And in those 2 days of open talks, you get the pen idea right here. Like, right away, you know, what is this? It's a pen. If a dog walked in right now and I shaved it, what would it be? And I showed it to them, what would it be? It'd be a chew toy. Why? Because the seed's in my mind. Something in my past is forcing me to see a pen. If I left it here, and this is how he's been telling us we should teach it, and all the dogs went out, and all the humans went out, what would be left? You know, potential, you know, and just potential, pure potential. And it's funny, I can't even grasp what that would be. I can talk about it, but I feel like when I say pure potential, it's supposed to, like, turn into some sort of nebulae or something like that, you know, like floating stars, or I just don't even know, you know, like, I don't even understand it. But I, for some reason, it resonates with me. But if it's true that, if for some reason, seeds in my mind are forcing me to see pens, then it means something I've done is forcing me to see a pen, which just automatically means I must be able to do the same thing to get everything else in my life, you know? And I've tested it, for sure, I've done it. I did it with a movie, I did it with the girl, I did it with, you know, last summer, actually, I was having a lot of obstacles, and, a lot of obstacles, actually. And so I actually put a thing out on to an email on Facebook. I was like, who needs help? You know, because if this, to be honest with you, it's not enough to just come here and sit in this class. You got to go try to put this thing into your life. You got to be a lab rat. Because otherwise, if you don't do it, then when you go to teach it, nobody's going to buy it. You can just sit up here and talk all day. But if you haven't done anything, what? Like, you've been studying 15 years and, like, you didn't figure it out yet? You know, like, you better be trying it. So I didn't want to do it with, that's how I got into the movie. It's exactly how I got into the movie. The other one's a long story. But, so Geshe said, look, all of you have come here with a dream, okay? In one sense, identify what it is that you want. in one sentence. I want to be a movie star. I want a partner. I want to be this. I want to be that. In one sentence, decide what you want. Because usually people are like, I want to be a movie star with the, you know, the list just goes on and on. But just, we'll just start with one. In one sentence, identify what it is that you want. And then, so he said this to the audience in Beijing. And then he looked at the students. And he's like, and I'm talking to my students because you should, and he said, you should dream big. Don't be like, I want to have a pretty good company. Like, what is it that you really want? Why are you so afraid to ask for what it is you want? Because you can get it. He's sitting out there. I am telling you, you can get it. What do you want? You know, and I'm afraid my students haven't actually dreamed big enough. They haven't like dreamed. They just haven't. Basically, is what he's saying. And I sat there. The reason I liked the DCI so much is because I learned so much there. And I thought, oh, he's talking to me. You know, and I'm like, I got to dream much bigger. Like, you know, what if I had no limits? What would I dream about? You know. So he said, go home tonight. Think about, meditate what it is that you want in your life, and don't hold back. Whatever, if it's true that things are coming from you from here because of things you can do, there's certain things in your life that you've done that are creating your world. Then it means you can probably do something to get what you want. So let's just start with what you want. So whatever it is, just go home and think about it. And so I went home and I went and meditated that night, and I was like, I got in the movie. That was pretty cool. You know, like I went home and served. I went and served my mom this whole summer, basically. I painted her house. I just spent all this time with her, basically the whole summer. And then I had a dream. I had this dream, and like this person came to me in this dream, like three dreams in a row, what they look like, the whole nine yards, you know. And then, you know, I came to retreat, and then, like, you know, Esther like walked out of the van, and I was like, looked just like her in the dream, same accent, the whole nine yards. She was English. She was blonde. Like everything, you know. But there were some obstacles, and so. I kept working on them from my side, you know. I kept helping people, you know, and I had a great opportunity to be able to help Fran a lot too. So she kind of like, it was really nice, you know. So I just, every time an obstacle came up, I just sort of went and attacked it with a seed, you know, I just went after it. And so you have to be like that in your life. So I went home and meditated, and I was like, all right, what do you want to be? And I was like, all right, well, if I could have anything, maybe I'll just be a millionaire, you know. What the heck? You know, that would be cool. I've never gone after money because I haven't cared. You know, I really haven't actually. So then I said, well, why a millionaire? Like, why not like a, because I started going through the math, how much my mom's house would cost, how much her car would cost. I was like, oh, it's going to go fast. You know, like, I'm going to be out of that pretty quick. Like, it's true. That money would be gone like that. You know, all the people I'd want to help. And I was like, why not just like a billionaire? And then I was like, you know, your mind could have kept going to zillionaire. So I was like, why don't we just go with billionaire? Let's say a billionaire. I want to be a billionaire. you know, and basically what I mean is like, is enough, just enough to have, do whatever the heck I want. You know, I need to buy anybody. I can take care of the, you know, well, it's DCI. It's a business thing, right? We weren't talking about attaining Buddhahood, right, in a way. But you are. So so we have these breakout groups, right? And so I went around to everybody. I said, all right, what does he want to be? Did everyone get their dream last night? Everyone's like, yeah, I got my dream. I'm like, great, let me hear it. And they're all like just staring around. And I was like, all right, I'll go. I want to be a billionaire. And they're all like, and I was like, USD. And they're all like, ooh. And I was like, yeah. And so how would I get it? So if it's true about seeds, right, if whatever it is that you want, you must provide it to somebody else first, what would I have to do? Right. So it just turned out, like, a month before, I was in Phoenix, and I just happened to be talking to a friend, and he kind of confided in me. And he was like, this is sort of just between me and you, but, like, to be honest with you, I want to be a billionaire. And, like, but this guy could do it, you know? Like, it wasn't like, I don't know, it wasn't like my friend Anthony Ladaro, you know, from Long Island. He could probably be a billionaire, maybe. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this guy's kind of creative enough. He could probably pull it off. You know, he's like, yeah, I want to help everybody with it. I want to do that, and I want to be able to help everybody with it. You know, because look, I'll be able to help all these people. I mean, he's already doing it, really, in his life. He really is, actually. So, and all of a sudden, I was like, right when they said that, right when I hit it, I was like, ding. I was like, I got a guy. You know, like, I got a guy. You know? And they're all like, and so I'm like, tomorrow morning, tonight, when I get home, I'm going to email him. And I'm saying, when I get home, let's meet. I got to meet you. I didn't say why. I said, let's just meet. I got to have lunch with you. I got to tell you about what's going on with my Asia trip. So the woman next to me said, like, she's like, well, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She goes, how long have you been with Geshe Michael? I said, 15 years. She goes, how come you're not a billionaire already? That's a totally fair question, right? And I was like, well, because I actually never went for it at all. I never decided to go after the money thing at all. I wanted to be in a movie. I did it. You know, I started a movie. It hasn't come out, but still, all I wanted to do was be in a movie. Guess was sort of like, you gotta get the movie out, man, because I can't keep talking about it. But I did it. I did it. You know, I did lots of things with that. I got every time I went after something I wanted with these principles, I got it. And in unusual ways and much quicker than I ever anticipated, right? It just happened that way. So it has to be like, what I'm saying, don't brag was like one of the things he wrote. Don't brag about yourself. I'm not trying to brag about myself. What I'm trying to say is you have to do this for yourself. You have to use yourself as a laboratory. So I flew back to Phoenix and then I actually hadn't sent the email that night and then I kept forgetting to. And then I can't remember if I did it at the airport as soon as I got home, but I was like, we got to meet, you know? And we met and somewhere I was like, look, I got to tell you why I'm meeting you. I want to make you a billionaire. You know, I want to be a billionaire. I actually just told him this whole story. I was like, you know, about just what I told you, you know? And he was like, right on, you know? And all of a sudden, everything shifted. Next thing you know, we took a car drive to his house. And all of these business, a lot of it relates to how we're going to be helping give solar to 1 million people in the next 6 years. So all of this is based in us helping people get power who don't have it. Poor, disadvantaged, really poor people. Like, I think according to the World Bank, it's like extreme poverty levels like $1.25 a day. So I'm not just talking about like, you know, being greedy. Like what's underneath all this is that we want to be able to help people. And we actually are. You know, we are going to provide people with those solar panels, you know. Because when the oil runs out, and it will, what are people going to do? How will they fend for themselves? You know, it's not enough for me to just sit up here and talk about the pen. Like, if I don't do something, then who will, you know? Like, we have to all have some locks on. And for some reason in my life, for the first time, I just kind of gave a shit. Honestly, I just was like, all right, I care for the first time. F it, I'll do it, you know? And it all started with a car drive with Geshe-la, you know? So your money where your mouth is? You gotta put your money where your mouth is, you know? That's really what I wanna express to you tonight. It's like not enough to just talk about the pen. You gotta like do something with your life. You gotta make something happen. So anyway, the cool things are happening, right? So anyway, there's four ways, and people, my mom said to me, you know, I'm always like at work. She bought the diamond cutter. She read it, and this is the way my mom deals with it. So when someone annoys her at work or she really doesn't like, she goes and purchases a diamond cutter and hands it to them. She's like, here, you should read this. You know, like, oh, you should read this. You know, like, oh, you should read this, you know? And it hasn't worked yet, actually. And it's kind of sad, actually, because my mom is like, you know, I thought about it, you know, it's sort of like I have all this stuff I've learned and I've been helping myself, but I haven't been helping the people around me, my own mom, my brother, and it just keeps going out from that, you know, like the people in Arizona, the people in Mexico, the people in China and Taiwan and Singapore and, you know, like Vietnam, everywhere. The whole world is like, they're waiting for us, they're waiting for all of you, all of us to help them. So she says, you know, I keep doing this stuff, but it never works. And Geshe was like, you got to have four things. If you really want this thing to work, you got to have these four things. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. So once you've written down your sentence, right, this is what I want, what would be the next logical step? Anybody? You guys really want to, you're all, never mind, I don't need help. You know, like, come on, get into it, man. You can have whatever you want, you know? Like, right, there you go. Find somebody who wants the same thing. Identify something. Let's get down to the nuts. We're just getting down to nuts and bolts right now. Like, find somebody who needs help. Identify somebody. Start looking in your life. What happens now is, they say like the rawest form of karma is thought. Every finger snap, you're planting 65 seeds per second, right? So right away, you're thinking, all right, I want to have something in my life. Who can I go help? Already, you're starting to collect karma. So now you're on the lookout, and you're like, who can I help? And you're actually looking around. Like, it becomes this thing where you're sort of like, who is it that I can help? You know, like, And spend some time doing it. Spend like 3 months trying to find that person. Don't just jump into it right away. Sometimes someone says, oh, I already do that. There's somebody working to help. I'm like, find someone else, you know? Although I did look out with my guy, but spend a little time looking for that person, you know? You'd be most likely it'll probably just show up. But what happens is as you go looking for this, you start planting all these seeds immediately. And you start collecting good karma right away. So like the game's already on. Game's on, like it's all, the process has already begun. You haven't met anybody yet. You're just looking, right? You're just looking for somebody. So then you just start to look for the somebody, the person, and meditate about it. I want to go home and meditate what you want to be. You know, I want to be a teacher. You know, we're focusing on teacher, right? Be a teacher. Eventually you're going to teach this person. That's what's happening, right? You're going to teach this person to get what they want. So identify the person that you want to help, right? It has something similar. I wanted to be in a movie. I found a guy who was making a movie. You know, I want to be a billionaire. I found somebody who wants to be a billionaire. You know, like that. It's not any more difficult than that. I want to be a teacher. I'd like to be a great teacher. Well, then go help facilitate someone teaching. Go help, you know, find somebody who needs, who's trying to be a teacher. You know, whatever it is that you want, it's just easy. They always say, shikwa? Shikwa seed? Shikwa. Shikwa means watermelon in Chinese, right? I don't say it right. But I always say this all the time, like, because the seed is always going to produce, like, how many grams is a oak tree, the seed for an oak tree? What do they say? 3-4 grams? And it turns into like 100-something tons, a full-size oak tree. So karma grows, you know? It grows. You plant a seed. So if you want a watermelon seed, if you want a watermelon, you should plant a watermelon. You shouldn't plant a chocolate chip, you know? Something ridiculous, which is what we're doing all the time. We're going around planting chocolate chips and hoping for watermelons. It was so cool, Geshe-la said. He's like, you know, you take like the coconut and you shake it and you're like, the sun's gonna rise. This is how the sun rises, or whatever he said. And it actually is like that. We're doing that stuff all the time. We're like, rise, rise, rise. You know, like, what are you doing? This is the sun, only the sun will rise if I keep shaking the coconut. He's like, it has no relationship. That's what he's saying. Stop shaking it. I can't stop shaking it, you know, because the sun's got to rise. What would happen if you stop shaking the coconut? Like, that's, people get very upset, actually, sometimes when you start teaching this to people. Because you sort of have to be a little bit gentle, actually. Because people have spent their whole life thinking, this is what's going to make them happy. And deep down, they actually know it's not. But when you say it out loud to them, it's sort of a little upsetting. Because it's like pulling the rug from under someone's foot. So you got to learn to be like skillful. You just can't just go in and just drop this whole emptiness bomb on them and say, everything you've been doing is totally wrong. You know, like, you're just shaking a coconut. You know, like, and they're like, bam, bam. You know, like, shut up. Like, it's hard. People react kind of like, it's hard because their whole world has been a certain way. And like, you know, my brother has MS, you know, and it's sort of like, you can't just throw this down somebody's throat. So what would be a really great way to teach them? How about do it? That would be kind of weird. Like if you had some success in your life, you know, like real success, you know, like just do it. And then you don't have to go and like make a phone call and be like, so there's this thing, it's called a pen, a dog walks in and they see a chew toy. And Marbella's like, duh, of course, I know that. But then it's like you're MS and you can fix it. He's like, ah, you're an idiot. You know, basically, I'm not being compassionate in that way. I'm not. I'm not being sensitive to what he needs. So you can't, once you've identified the person, you just can't walk into their room and just drop the pen bomb, basically. So once you've done that, then you want to start preparing. So step number two would be to start doing a tonglen on them, which basically, because of the amount of time that I have, we'll just talk about it right now. So imagine now, once you've identified your guy, your person, or your girl, or whatever it is, start meditating about the meeting, okay? Because eventually you want to go to Shimba Ke. Shimba Ke? Did I say it right? Shimba Ke. It's just a Shimba Ke, but in Taiwan, and they're all like, yeah. It's interesting. I started to hear the differences in the accents. Yeah, and so, you know, normally if we want something, we're like, hey, you know, I want to go to like, you know, oh, so should I go to like Prescott? Like that? But Chinese, like all these, like, they change the word when you have these different, like, you know, the intonation goes up, right? So there's a station in Taiwan called Nehu, Nehu Station or something like that? And I go, Nehu? And they're like, it just changes the word totally. You know, like, and they're just staring at me. I'm like, what? I'm reading it. It says Nehu right there. Like, why can't you see that? Like, something about the pen for some reason. You know? Shimbaka, Starbucks, basically. So eventually you're gonna go meet the person. So you wanna, before you meet them, you wanna actually set it up. So start, do a meditation about the whole setup. Okay, just sit there. And Geshe did something really cool. Instead of just doing the typical Tonglen, God, if you guys can get, by the way, if you can get any of the tapes, any of the stuff in the DCI stuff, you gotta listen to it. It is like off the hook. It's sort of like, he just says stuff there, to be honest with you. I don't see him really say many places sometimes, in public at least. So you get into, do the meditation and basically set up the whole thing. Like you get to Starbucks early, you pick out the chair. You know what, let's just do it real quick. Everyone get into a meditation position real quick. This will be brief, but so close your eyes. Now, for now, we'll just use the example of maybe somebody that you would like to teach the pen to, okay? So pick somebody in your life that you think you would be ready to hear it, you teaching them the pen. And just come up with a picture of that person in your life. And let's say that they want a partner. So think of the Starbucks or the coffee shop in your town, wherever you live, that you're going to take them to. And then imagine that you arrive there first and you see the front door and you put your hand on the door and you open it. And you walk in and even like the smell of coffee and the sound of people talking. And already you're looking for the spot that you're looking for, an open place in the coffee shop, some place that you want to sit them down and talk to them. And so pick a seat maybe over in the corner, and you see it, there's like an opening of two seats. So you walk over to the chair and you just sit down, and this is where you're going to sort of meet your friend. And then all of a sudden you see your friend open the door. And they're smiling and you're smiling. And you stand up and they walk over to the table. And then maybe you take their coat and you sit them down. And then you tell them just to sit there for a second. And then you walk up to the counter. And you order two hot chocolates. Or whatever their favorite drink is. We'll just say it's hot chocolate with extra whipped cream or something. So you pay for the drinks yourself. And then you walk back to the table and you can see them. And the whole time you've been thinking how you're going to help them. And remember, you're going to use love and affection. So you give them their hot chocolate. And then you sit down, and then you just ask them how they are. And now imagine them telling you their problem. Whatever it is their problem is, doesn't necessarily have to be that they want a partner, but just sit, and whoever the person is, ask them what their problem is, and just imagine that they're telling you for a couple minutes. This is the taking part. You're just sitting there listening. And they tell you their whole story. Maybe they're lonely and they've been looking for somebody, and you're just looking at them with love. And then they've told you everything, and then you decide, you know, are they ready to hear the pen? Or maybe I just offer them some advice, you know, oh, I think I know, let's make a plan. You know, I'm going to help you. And you make a commitment. You know, you just say, I'm going to help you. And you make a plan, you know, I think I know somebody someplace. You know, maybe I know some people you could go out with, or depending upon where they are, start at the level of kindness. Be sensitive to their needs. This is the giving part. You're giving them what they need. And if all they can handle in the beginning is just some advice, then that's good enough. So then you make a plan with them. Let's meet again in 1 week. You know, you give them some advice and you have them work on it, or you're going to introduce them to somebody. Make some sort of plan, an agreement. And then you both finish your hot chocolates. And then you watch your friend get up. Maybe you give them a hug, and then they go, they get up and they kind of walk out the door. As soon as you see them go out the door, you think to yourself, I just planted a seed. I planted a seed to bring them what they need, and then in the end I will get what I want. But even more important is that you think, I'm starting a revolution, because if I plant the seeds and I get the things that I want, then someone will see that, and then they'll want to know how to do it also. And you just dedicate it to your friend. And then go back to your breath. And then you can open your eyes. Now, could we turn the lights back on? Now, in one sense, it seems sort of like childlike, almost like it, in a way, the meditation, like, maybe it's just too simple or something like that, you know, but we were talking about it, like, you know, we've been doing these tong lens the whole time, but are we actually going and listening to our friends? Hold on, let me just do this one part. Okay.
About that.
Sure.
Is that...
Right.
But that's still tong lens.
Sure. Because the listening to them is taking away their problem. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, like, we do these tong lens all the time, and someone's like, hey, can I talk about my problem? You're like, you know, I really don't have time. You know, like, like, I've been doing tong lens for a long time, and it didn't dawn on me that, like, Geshe taught this, and I was like, and he actually said it. And that's where I was like, damn, he's right. You know, like, I've been doing the same thing. Like, we've been doing these tong lens, and that, but have I been sitting and listening to my friend? You know, because when you're listening to them, they're just loading their problems on you. And you just sit there, you know, and you just sit there and be a friend. You know, it's like all of the study I've been doing, and you know, what I'm coming back to, like, really, is to be a better person, to be just a good person, to just be a friend. Like, all of this stuff, my life is becoming so simplified, and I'm starting to feel, you know, there's some part of me that's like, oh, maybe it's just too simple. You know, like, people are gonna, I'm supposed to know more Tibetan and tell them more philosophical things. But really, at the end of the day, what's happening, at least for me, is that, like, you just have to be, like, a better, I have to be a friend. I have to be a better friend. I have to be a better listener. I have to, like, be kind. I have, like, just manners. Open a door for somebody. You know, can I get you something? You know, Geshe-la is just sort of like an amazing, to be around him, it's just this whole level of kindness. It's just sort of extraordinary. We were walking from the infirmary over here, and I'm all worried about, like, you know, do we have enough of this? Did we get the readings yet? Which we haven't. We haven't got any homeworks. But I'm just worrying. And Geshe-la is like, he's walking with Angelo, actually, and he's like, you know, there's this bird. I saw this like blue bird thing. He's like, it was extraordinary. Like, and the level of his like present awareness and kindness is just like baffling to me. His ability to sort of be like present with the person and present with like the story's telling. His mind's not going off on like all these things he has to do. It was just like, it was a story about a bird, and it was just so like beautiful and simple, and like the way that he described it, there was so much like detail. The way that the bird shapes and it moves and when it breathed and how it flew and how it reminds him of, it was just like, man, he's just sort of like, when you get around him, it's just sort of, it's probably the way I thought I was supposed to be from the beginning. You know, and maybe I just doubted it. And now I'm seeing this person who just has this other level of kindness. So I guess what I'm saying is that don't imagine that meditation being some sort of like simple child story or something like that. Because it's actually far more profound than that. You know, like you're planting a seed now to go help someone change their world forever. You know, you haven't gotten to Starbucks yet. You spent all this time looking for them. We haven't gone there yet. Now you spend all this time meditating about them. So you're collecting all these other seeds. And it's always interesting when you meditate about someone. You can do it as a cool experiment. I did it with my dad. They start to know for some reason. Probably has something to do with this. That's great, by the way. This whole idea of like things are coming from you. If you start getting this in your mind and just start doing the action, it's really helpful sometimes. Just sort of just be like, you know, you have this conversation, you're just sort of like, yep, coming from me. So, you know, you're getting yelled at, you're like, yeah, totally. Which I have not got that good at, by the way. Well, I'm like the, there's a comic and the guy tells a joke and like, you know, he sits there and everybody's, he tells a joke and everyone's laughing. He's sort of sitting there and he goes home and yeah, he goes through his whole day and then it's midnight and he's sitting on his bed and he starts going, ah, ha, ha, ha. I'm like that with like karma and emptiness, you know, like I don't get it until much later. Often, you know, someone yells at me and I'm like, I react and I'm like, oh, that was so stupid. Did it again, 15, 16 years, I'm doing the same thing. So, it's really profound. So you're sitting there listening to them and take some time with this meditation, get into it. You know, like, actually, Anatole's really, really good at this. You know, like, he has this amazing ability to create a world, you know? And so it's really nice to listen to Anatole because it's sort of like, he takes you into his world, which I always find like totally fascinating. But it's this ability to create this whole, get into it, what's the door like? Is there a sound? Like, fill in all the color, you know? Make it like an elaborate meditation. What does their face look like? And all of this time you're spending time planting more seeds for your friend, the whole time. You think you're just doing a meditation, you're not. You're every single moment, it's like, bam, bam, bam. And I know Geshe-la's been saying this forever to me, but like it just feels like it's just starting to creep inside of me, you know, like how I'm supposed to create this whole world for myself. So, and then, you know, you giving them advice, start with like, hey, you know, I think I know of a friend, or, you know, what happens actually when you start doing this is you're on the lookout. Now you're already on the lookout for like, how can I help them? You know, like, do they want to meet, or they want to, you know, you just, your antenna goes up and you start to be just sort of like, someone tells you something, you're like, I know somebody, I got a guy, I can help you. You know, so your mind starts to shift into this sort of direction of like, how can I help? You know, you haven't even gotten a Starbucks yet and already your mind is like, you're just sort of like, how I can put somebody together here somehow. There's got to be somebody I can help. You know, like you've reversed. What is it? Pratipaksham Bhavanam? Is that right? The crappy situation comes up and you You do the opposite. Yoga's chitti vritti nirodha, right? You do the opposite, right? Things are coming like this. So you're collecting all these seeds. It's amazing. It's a great system. So you do the meditation, and then once you've done the meditation a couple times, then you make the phone call. Hey, let's meet at Starbucks, you know? And like, what's it like to walk into a Starbucks when you've had all of this? You're like, you've been thinking about them. For some weird reason, they know. I did this with my father. I did a lot of Tonglen with my father in a long retreat. And you know, he would do these. This is how it usually goes. Look is like this. They're like, they look at you, and then they do one of these like double takes on you. You know, and they're like, are you thinking about me? Or something. People pick up on it, you know? They just pick up when you're thinking about them. So now you got to go to Starbucks, right? And that's the third one. So Geshe-la says, actually, you collect the most karma in 1, 2, and 4. So when you actually go to Starbucks, the karma is still powerful, but the big like atomic karma is 1, 2. And number 4, by the way, is the one thing I wanted me to tell you. Is it okay if I just go 10 minutes over late and I'll let you go to bed, I promise? All right. I mean, some of you are probably saying no, for sure, like Dr. Moore. I promise. But I want to give you number 4. This is where he said you guys needed the most. So Starbucks is pretty self-explanatory. Now you just go. And then just start to see how you can help them. Be their friend. Sometimes Geshe-la says sometimes people just need a friend. That's it. They just need somebody to talk to, you know? And the intentions are, the seeds are already been planting. It's not like you, do you, someone says, do you actually necessarily have to get them the partner? No, you don't. You know, but it would be cool if they got one, wouldn't it? So you plant, you go and you plant seeds. Now you try to see, how can I figure it out? And actually what happens is that as you're talking to them, your mind is trying to figure out how you can help them. You know, somehow like you're looking for an opening for them, actually. So number 4, he says, is why he said his company got so successful. He just said this is a secret weapon, and most of you have probably heard it, but it's coffee meditation. It's the one where you you go home at night and you just think of, you get a cup of tea or coffee. He said coffee because at the time he was working so many hours, and Rinpoche had him like, you know. I used to see Geshe-la, right? I saw him, right? He had just quit when I met Geshe-la. It was like 96. 96, 97, and he was just sort of exiting the whole world, but he would still go back and do some consulting work, and man, he was tired a lot. Like, his eyes were always bloodshot, and he worked a lot, you know, he really did, and especially in the very beginning. You know, eventually he slowed down and was able to, someone said, you know, how long did it take you to get successful? He said, you know, did you have to put all those hours in right away? And he said, well, in the beginning when you're starting this thing of planting seeds, you're still struggling with your old worldview, and so it took him a little while to mature, to understand about the seed thing, where he could start to design his future. But this is him coming home at late at night, and he hadn't meditated all day, and he was exhausted, and Rinpoche would have him sit up on the couch, you know, and just sit back and get your coffee or tea and just think of all the cool things you just did today, you know? And this is actually the one thing he told me that you guys needed, was that you need coffee meditation, which probably means you have everything else already. And it's the one part that we're probably all lacking. And just think about the cool stuff that you're doing. You know, like, I met my friend today at, like, you know, I can't remember the name of the place, some hotel coffee shop, you know, and, like, it was really cool. We met, and I meditated about it, and then I got to have this extraordinary day, and then it turned into something else, and I met this other person, and then suddenly, like, this web of, like, people we're going to help around the world is totally happening, and this is really happening. This is really cool. This isn't just about me just getting what I want now. I'm starting to be able to, like that, you know? And just think about all the cool stuff you did, how cool it was what you did today, and then all the cool stuff that you saw, you know? Kevin, these guys are, by the way, are extraordinary. You know, like, Kevin is the director, Michael's the bigger guy, he's Australian, you probably heard his voice for Friendly Pines. They all do everything here. You know, I'm always like, I tend to have this sort of like, I'm the boss, it's this terrible thing I do. I don't got to do that, you know. I'm the boss. I have a cup of coffee. I walk around and tell you what to do. You know, like, that's my job. Get it done. I can't come down there and work with you, because then who's going to tell these people what to do? But I don't think it's actually a good habit of mine. And I walked into the kitchen, and Kevin is washing dishes, the director of the whole place. I was like, these guys are so, like, and they're so willing to work with us. We're kind of a difficult group to have, you know, like, they're like, what do you mean you don't want onions and garlic? And who makes risotto without cheese? And By the way, I just put cheese out there today because people were starting to get a little loony. So it always happens around the same time. Same problems happen around Wednesday or Thursday. People start to get a little wacky. The gill started happening today. Tomorrow we have more stuff for you to eat. So at any rate, I was like, that guy like runs the whole, he's the guy who wrote the whole contract. He runs this whole camp. He's responsible for the whole thing, and he's washing dishes. And I was like, man, I need to be like that, you know? So I screwed up with the platforms, basically, you know? They were supposed to go a certain direction. You know, we're doing three of them. They went the wrong direction. And I was like, so I had to go talk to like the design crew and stuff. And I was like, look, man, it's not going to work. So no matter what, the end of the conversation we were about to have was going to be, we have to move them. So I was just trying to, as nice as I could say it, and they were trying to come up with solutions on how not to move it, but that wasn't going to happen. But I was like, you know, I can't just send these guys down there. So I was like, I'm going down at 8 o'clock. I have to. I'm not bragging, but it's just sort of, it's most of me being not like that great of a person. Johnny O is really good at it, because Johnny O is like, if you ever call Johnny O and listen to his cell phone messages, hey, this is Johnny O, how can I help you? And he like means it. You know, he's not just sort of like, when Johnny O tells you he's going to help you, you can count on it. It's going to happen. You know, like, it's really inspiring. You know, like, even at the end of Diamond Mountain, I was like, I'm meditating till 11 o'clock. I don't care. These guys were just like, it's just incredible. We have all these really cool, incredible people to learn from right around us. And I'm trying to change, you know? And so I just went down and helped the guys, you know? But even though I still held the shovel, because I'm still kind of like dumb, I feel, you know, I'm like, oh, you got that? Yeah, let me just push the dirt. Like, even though I went down, but I'm still trying, you know? I'm still trying to, like, be a better person, basically. So that's what I thought about the coffee meditation. I thought, man, these guys are so cool. What's happening is that this rejoicing seed is so powerful that it sends a super-powered, like, arrow into the seed that you planted. And it's like an atomic bomb. It's like rejoicing seems to be so powerful. You know, I don't have, like, the reason why. You know, obviously the seed of rejoicing is very powerful. I don't know how to go through it, but it seems to work. You know, when you get happy for other people, then like creative ideas can happen in your mind, all sorts of cool stuff. I would say this is probably the one place where at least I'm lacking, and so I'm trying to do it every night. Something you should try. Now, when he says put the arrow in your own heart, you got to put the practice in. You got to put the stuff into practice right away. Don't wait till the end of the retreat. Start tonight. So when you go home, go have a tea or, you know, whatever, because sometimes it's hard. You hit bed and you're like, boom, out. You're like, that was so cool. Like, that happens to me often, you know, like, I'm just sort of like, that's so cool what he did. And it's a really beautiful way to go to sleep, you know. Put these things into practice right away. If you want $1 billion or whatever it is you want, you want to be like the teacher, the Buddha, whatever. If there's a result, there's a cause. It's that simple. You want a watermelon? Plant a watermelon seed. You want oranges? Plant an orange seed. You know, whatever it is, there's a cause for that result. You know.
How literal are the seeds? Because when Geshe La said that the guy in China wanted to raise his IQ, he said that the way that was planting seeds by teaching other people, which is different, right? You're not actually raising somebody else's IQ; you're teaching them, right? So in my mind, that would maybe like bring about a teacher. So if you wanted to be a billionaire, could you like help somebody else with some money? Or is it very literal? I was confused by how not literal it was for the guy in China, but then your action helping somebody else become a billionaire. So I'm wondering about the literalness of it.
Well, karma grows, right? The result's always going to be larger than the cause, right? That's one of the laws of karma. Like, it's going to grow. It multiplies karma. Okay. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like that technically, right? I just happen to have somebody who said they wanted that, and so worked out. Well, literal in the sense that I wanted to be in a movie. I wanted to find somebody in the same field. Literal is like, well, just put it this way. If you want an apple tree, what seed would you like to plant? Right. So that's pretty literal.
So it wouldn't work. Like, let's say, like, this is what you really wanted. Could you help somebody else get something that they really wanted?
Geshe says be very specific. Make a list of exactly what you want. Don't leave out anything, okay? And then go after each one. Like a ninja, go after each one specifically. Each one on the list. Whatever it is you want about your partner, like if it's like you want kind, you know, whatever the qualities are, go after each one, and then you have to do that for somebody else. Whatever it is that you want, do it for somebody else first. So, like, we've had this question about, we were actually talking about this, how literal are you talking about? I can't really say. I actually don't know. But it seems like if I want, that seems pretty literal, as far as if I want an apple tree, I should probably, but apple seed. I did it for a movie. It really happened. I'm not kidding. And it happened fast. I became, like, I just wanted to do it. I found some guy who was making a movie. I said, I'll do anything you want. And I did. And then, for some reason, when he was auditioning for the one part, he kept thinking about me. I wasn't even there. And the casting director was like, he turned down every single guy who came up for the part. And the casting director was like, we're spending a lot of money here. What's the problem? He's like, I don't know. But every time this guy auditions, I think of my friend. And he's like, does he know how to act? He goes, I don't know. You know, but he offered me the part, and then I did it. You know, like, so to me, that was pretty literal. So I don't really have the answer. Like, I don't know they say the inner workings of karma is Shinto Kokyo, which is, like, deeply hidden, you know, but seems to work. What I'm saying is you got to try.
Well, what about Rainbow Body? I can't give Rainbow Body to someone else.
That's true. Why not? Right. So what would that mean you would have to do?
I would have to achieve Rainbow Body myself so that I could teach.
Well, go back a little bit. How would you actually gotten to the point where you achieved Rainbow Body?
I would practice.
How would you practice? Keep going back. So how would you practice? Nobody asked for
a teacher?
Right.
Okay.
That's probably a pretty good start. How would you find a teacher?
Plant the seed in my own mind.
How? What else?
Help someone else to find.
That's it. It's just like that. Everything you want is just like that. Don't let it be like some, like, weird, like, it's not some, like, weird, like, and it's very specific, you know? And just do it just like that. I want a rainbow body. How do I get that? I'd probably have to learn to get be a rainbow. How would I learn? I have to find a teacher. How do I find a teacher? I got to go help. I got to go teach somebody. I got to go plant the seed, right? He said to go plant a seed. I got to go do something. It's like, and it's really, it makes the whole conversation pretty quick, you know, like, I want this, and you're just sort of like, and after a while in the breakout group, you just say, shikwa seed, you know, they're like, but, you're like, shikwa seed, and they can't, they're like, they want, for some reason, everybody wants it to be something else, it's got to be something else, it's not, I want an apple tree, we'll plant put an apple seed, but I want an apple tree, no, this is what it is, I want an apple tree, well, then plant an apple seed, but I want a peach tree, and I was like, well, what do you want, you want an apple tree, or you want a peach tree? I want an apple tree and a peach tree. We'll then plant both. To be honest with you, it's not that difficult, really. We have 2 minutes.
I remember Geshe-la also teaching what she has, the third part of the core point,
mm-hmm.
has to do with the plant, and he talked about you can give in different levels. So if you need corn, you can give somebody corn, and you can teach them how to plant it, or better, them how to teach, and that would include everything you want. So
that's the punchline. Thanks. I wrote it down, actually. Damn. So that's really it. Look, I've taken too much of your time, so you guys gotta go to sleep. So that's really the end. When we start talking, I'm happy to, like, if you want to, like, wrestle me with more questions, I'm happy to do it. So really at the end, whatever you want, it involves teaching. That's what Geshe-la said. That's exactly what he said. And that's how I wanted to end the class, is that whatever it is that you want, it's going to involve you teaching somebody else, right? Don't let it be like, don't let your practice become some sort of, like, weird, sparkly. I mean, it can be sparkly and beautiful and pine cones hanging from things and things like that. It should be beautiful and creative. Your whole life should be like, if you want your life to be art, it's not a problem, right? For those of us who aren't lucky enough to have been born, like, you know, I didn't always have, like, the thing I was supposed to do. I was really good at lots of stuff. So, you know, I would like to have that sort of thing where, like, this is what, you know, what I was meant to be. You know, I'd like to have that in my life. I'd like to have, like, what Elisa was talking about today. You know, that sort of, like, you know, just so cool. I'd like to have that in my life. So if I want that, I have to and teach somebody something that they want to learn or help somebody find a passion, right? Follow your bliss, right? How am I going to follow my bliss? Well, find, how about become interested in somebody else's bliss? Find out what they want and try to help them do it. Just find one person. You don't have to, like, I know, it's like, you know, just start with one. And then if you get some success from that, people are going to be like, that's, well, how did you do it? It always happens that way, you know? Lord Buddha's like walking around and people are like, what's up with, like, what did you do? You know, like, imagine, get, you know, I always try to imagine people, sometimes I'm trying to watch what it's like for people to meet Geshe-la, you know? Like, I want to, like, be in the Starbucks when he's like, oftentimes I want to go inside of his eyes and sort of, like, look out. Because, you know, if you ever look in his eyes, they're like, there's something crazy going on there. And, but, you know, he took the practices and just did them. That's all he did. He did them, right? Your life can be just as extraordinary. It doesn't have to be like, there's the Lama and I'll never get there. It's not set up for that. It's set up for you guys to get to your goals. You should get them. And if you're not getting them, then either, you know, and dig in. Why am I not getting them? Did I, like, do those four things? Which is usually what we say to the people in China. I didn't get mine. Did you identify the person? Did you do the Tonglen? Did you go to Starbucks? Did you do the coffee meditation? No. Then they don't come to me, is what Geshe-la says. Which he hates with his own students. I just stop saying it. I'm not getting, Geshe-la, just do it. Just do it, and it'll make the guy happy. So, it'll make you happy. You know, it'll make everybody happy in your life. So, I apologize for keeping you late. I really do. Although I kept you late anyway. Wouldn't I have been stopped 10 minutes ago? No. Can you? Pukki juk shing me to tram ri rab ling shin yin de yin pa di sang e shing du mik te u war gi drogun nam da shing la dru par sho idam guru ratnam mandala ka niryatayami Di gewa kun sunam yeshe zok sok shing sunam yeshe le zhong wei dampa kun yi to par sho. Thank you. Please hug like the work study and hug like maybe not hug the kitchen, but write them a note. You can write them a note and say they're doing a great job. You can put it in the suggestion jar and we'll like pass it on to them. Rosa, like the people who are like people, everybody's working so hard here. And everyone's helping in some way. It's just really great to see. And so oftentimes you'll see people missing from classes because they're doing something to help the retreat. It's just like, it's really great. So please come tomorrow to the, we'll have it all be worked out tomorrow morning. Do we know where everybody's going now?
Yeah,
or do we have
Samadhi's class isn't here.
Isn't here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Darcy is doing advanced. She wants to be in Vaisenthaniya.
Okay, so we'll tell you in the morning, but Elisa's class is going to be here tomorrow, and that'll be group A. Actually, what it says is, it says group one and two.
Well,
right?
The one up there says group A and B.
Yeah.
Right.
We assume that group B was group two.
Yeah. Oh, good. That would probably be right. But we didn't think that.
Group B here.
All right, I will explain it to you. Let's make group A one, let's make group B two. So group A, look, just so you know, just listen to me real quick. Is this going to freak them out if I just say group A is one?
No.
Group A is one. Group B is two. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Group A, which is number one, goes to Elisa's class.
No.
You guys don't like change. See, it's yeah. I'm sorry. So, all right, we'll do that then. So,
we should stick to the schedule.
Let's just stick to the schedule. Listen. Shh, relax. You guys go back to being quiet. I'm gonna post it tomorrow exactly where you're gonna go. So don't worry. Okay, it's gonna be written on that schedule where you're going tomorrow, where Group B is gonna go and where Group A is gonna go. There'll be no confusion at all. Okay, so just relax. Don't worry about it tonight. Yeah. So there. By the way, we wrote picnic on there because we were originally gonna take you guys outside, but it's just too cold. So there will be garden burgers though. So, anything else? They gotta go to bed. Can we do it tomorrow? Okay, let's talk about tomorrow. It's 10:20. Can I make the announcement in the morning? Nothing's happening between tonight and tomorrow, right? Here, come up. Listen, if you gotta go, I'm sorry, you can just, I apologize. I'm saying sorry a lot to you guys.